This is Unstructured.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Today, we're going to lighten things up here. We have Larry Roberts. Larry is with the Readily Random podcast. He's a voiceover artist. He's also a multi-level black belt in Kempo Karate. So if I annoy him, I'm fortunately on the other end of the internet. But Larry's just a really fun guy. I don't know if he's a comedian, but he surely is funny.
Well, that's fair enough. I'll take that. What I won't take is the comedian name. I haven't earned that. That's for sure. So, you know, I've got a little bit of stage time, but I'm definitely not a quote unquote comedian.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you have a masterful 1 minute on Kill Tony.
I don't know if it's masterful, but yes, I fulfilled a lifelong dream. Not lifelong, a year long dream of appearing on Kill Tony, which is to me, it's a great podcast. It's laid back. It's very open format kind of, but yet structured at the same time. But, you know, as you know, I'm sure you've listened to Kill Tony based on our previous conversations. You get 60 seconds. If you're lucky enough to get your name pulled from the hat, you get to go up on stage and do your best material. And I got up there and, you know, me and a friend of mine who is a comedian, he's blowing up. He's great. Jamie Gravy is the moniker he goes by. He just recently opened for Eddie Griffin in Chicago. So he's stepping it up. He used to be my co-host on my original podcast. But where was I going with that? I lost my train of thought. I gave too many shout outs. Anyways, you get to do 1 minute. So I was going through and I was doing, we were prepping for like 2 weeks because we knew Kill Tony was coming to town. And man, we were sitting here, we had our joke books out and we're taking notes and we're writing and go, hey man, what about this? Hey man, I wouldn't say that. Maybe this. Okay. Yeah. But they weren't clean sets. You know, they were adult humor sets. Right. But they were 1 minute. So, I mean, how can offensive can you be in 1 minute? But we weren't really going for offensive. It was just, you know, blunt. But I'm sitting there and I'm nervous as all get out. And another friend of mine that we went in a group, he got called up first. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is scary. And he got up there and he just got destroyed. Tony and Brian Redband just destroyed him. And that scared the life out of me. And so a few names went and I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'll get out of this and I can just go, oh, well, it sucks. They didn't call my name. You know, I had a lot of good material, but just didn't get called up. But no, it didn't work that way. What worked was they called my name and man, I sat there. I just sat there and sat there and then they called my name again, like, go dude. So I'm like, okay. So I get up and I go to the stage and I just go into a different universe of I'm standing in front of a packed house of people at a comedy club that I don't know. My comedic genius over here, whose rantings I love, Tony Hinchcliffe, and his producer, Brian Redband, they're to the left of me. What am I going to do? And I just started going. It just stuff started coming out. You know, I started saying things. And all those jokes that I did, I don't know, the two or three that I spit out, if you call them jokes, they were right. They were just off the cuff. They were not planned in any way, shape, fashion, or form. It just came out that way. It's so weird.
Did you remember what you said after? Or was it like it literally happened so fast you were like lost your mind?
Well, then it happened so fast. And then, of course, they roasted me for like 10 minutes, you know, so there was so much banter going back and forth that they were just hammering me. And really, the only thing I remember right now, even then, I think, was the whole pasta growing in your belly and you got stretch marks that look like roadmaps after you eat. I don't know. It was something stupid. But but it was a lot of fun, man.
I watched it. They didn't really roast you. They were chatting with you. Your presence was excellent.
Was it?
Yeah, and both of them actually commented that you had the authenticity down.
Well, see,
you just need some material to go with it.
Yeah, it just was. It was authentic because I had no idea what I said. It was very authentic.
No, but when you were talking to them.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Very, very, very comfortable in your own skin. You present yourself very well.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
It's definitely noticeable.
Well, it hadn't got me back on Kill Tony, I'll tell you that.
Well, didn't they go to Dallas again?
They did, and I didn't make it. Well, actually, I could have gone, but my voice was like this. I couldn't even hardly talk. And I was trying to do it. I was trying to read a book for a client, and I was trying to do my podcast. I couldn't even do my shows. My voice was just toast. And they were here, and I couldn't go. I mean, I could have gone, but then I'd just sit there and kick rocks because I couldn't go up on stage. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Now, you, from my understanding, your voice got blown out because you're doing voiceover work on a video game.
That's right. I did blow my voice out, and it damaged it a lot more than what I expected, man. I can't even think of the name of the game now. It was an expansion pack for a game, and I will tell you the name so you can put it in the show notes, but I can't remember what it was. But I did some work for Hamster Ball Studios. They're located down in Austin, and Randall Ryan, he is a private coach of mine for voiceover work, and he also gets me auditions and throws some jobs my way on a rare occasion without auditioning. And this happened to be one of those. And it was a Mad Max kind of role where I was like one of the crazy warrior type post-apocalyptic, and everything I had to say I'm not going to. No, not a chance. But it was just so gruff and so loud, and he wanted me to stand back, and I literally like yelled it at the top of my lungs, and I mean I could feel my vocal cords going, dude, what are you doing? But it was a paid gig, so what are you gonna do? You gotta do it. So, I'm still trying to think of the name of the game. I don't even play the game, and I haven't even heard myself on the game, to be honest with you. So
what other voiceover gigs have you done?
Just local stuff. I do a lot of announcing at some of the local / regional fight promotions. But nothing of any note, to be honest with you. You know, I did the voiceover gig back when I was, I'll say in my mid-20s. I had always thought voiceover was a really cool deal, right? And it was something that I wanted to get involved with. And it was even early to mid-20s, because I can remember my girlfriend at the time, who did not ever become my wife. And thankfully, and we took it together. So we went to a local acting school here in Dallas, and we went through the program together. And back then, the game has changed so much now. But back then, I can remember this instructor specifically saying, if you're going to get into active voiceover work, you literally have to wait for one of the existing voiceover artists
to die.
And I'm like, what? So needless to say, that kind of yanked the rug out from under my feet, right? And right. Said, no, you can still do it. You can still get on radio shows and this and that. And I said, man, I can do that without having voiceover, right? You know? So I backed off from it for a while. And then I got heavily involved in my fight career. You know, I did some fighting back in the late 90s, even early 2000s. And then I picked it up again 3 or 4 years ago. And it's totally different now. And I ended up making some connections with some folks that are actually on games like World of Warcraft. You tell me about it. I was like, oh my God, you did this old Jen's voice. Oh my God. You know, cause I'm a WoW nerd. You know, I've been playing WoW since launch and I still play today, but, it's a cool industry, very niche industry. And it's just one of those that you really, really, really need to give 100% of your time to. And it's very difficult if you can't do that, just because a lot of voiceover is networking. It's just getting out there. Sure. And it's that way with everything. But the voiceover industry is so niche that it's extremely critical that you go to every luncheon, that you go to every convention, that you go to every conference, and they know your voice and they help you hone your voice. And you take this course and that course, and there's workshops that run you $500 every time you turn around.
Right.
And it came to a point where my wife was like, dude, no more. No, you're not doing it. No more. So,
yeah, that's a funny thing, because I feel like some of those fields, those workshops are almost like your payment for entry. Like they're mandatory. You take them to stay in the crowd because you've got to run with your peers all the time.
100%. I agree with that. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory fashion. It's just, it's what the industry is. It's what it amounts to. And that goes back to what I was saying about the networking. You have to be there shaking hands, making yourself known, because, you know, you can have a cat daddy demo and you can start throwing it out to places, and you can even get you an agent and maybe land a gig or two, but it's still not going to put you in the in crowd. And just like you said, you have to buy your way in all honesty. And it's pretty much that way with anything, but voiceover is definitely one of those where you definitely need to buy your way in on a consistent basis.
Speaking of games, by the way, one of my previous guests, Dustin Cubitt, is a game developer, programmer.
Okay.
He worked on, I feel bad. What's the biggest Microsoft game?
Age of something.
Shooter game.
Golly, you got me.
Well, it's Activision, and it's like their main title.
Call of Duty?
Yep.
Okay.
He worked on that.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay.
So he's somebody you may want to interview later.
Yeah, I very well may, because Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is coming out here shortly. So not that I watch it or anything. You know, watch out for it.
Now, leading back to the question of blue material in 1 minute.
Okay.
You had a previous podcast that was going pretty well, correct?
I did have a previous podcast. And if you found an episode online, congratulations, because I went to every effort to delete it from the interwebs completely. I don't know if I missed one, but yeah, the previous podcast was called Accidentally the Whole Tip, and I'll let you run with the innuendo there. And it went for roughly, I'll say 130 episodes is about how far it went. And we took it to internet radio as well as podcasting. And the difference there is it's actually a radio station that's located online. And we had a weekly show there as well. And then before we pulled the plug, it was actually a live show. We took it to a club here locally, and we were doing the podcast live on stage for the studio audience. Mm. So that was a lot of fun too. That was a blast. Scary, but a blast.
Yeah, but it's cool. I mean,
oh yeah, it was totally cool.
Energy you can feed off of.
Well, see, and our inspiration for the live show really 100% went back to Kill Tony. You know, we didn't pull names out of the hat or anything like that, but it was just being on stage, doing some crowd work, and recording it as an episode of the podcast as well. We had our topics that we were covering, any kind of gigs or bits that we had planned out, we would do that as well. And we'd be up there for a couple of hours and just have a good time with it.
Now, did you have to shut it down because of your day job, or?
I did have to shut it down because of my day job. And, you know, everybody goes, Larry, they can't force you to shut it down. And I understand that they can't force us to do it, but they can strongly recommend that you do it, you know. And I had a new manager that came into the department, and now I reported to him, and I was all everything that I did revolved around my podcast. I had materials that, at my desk, and honestly, before he showed up, it was fine. Even our HR manager for the region, for the whole Texas temperature division, she was cool with it. She loved it. She listened to it. We couldn't tell anybody, but she did. Right. So, but anyway, for a sake of a better relationship with my direct report, I made the decision to pull the plug. So.
And this spawned into Readily Random, or was Readily Random already in gestation?
Well, Readily Random has been around since the MySpace days. And now, not as a podcast, but the name Readily Random is something that I used all the way back then. And it was just a printed blog, or let me even rephrase that. It was an attempt at a blog. Back then, I was so scattered and I had so much going on that I just couldn't find the time to write a blog. And I had it, and there were probably three or four entries, maybe five, I don't know. But I didn't do it as consistently as I needed to, especially back then, because blogs were the thing, right? And I was sitting here trying to come up with a new name for a new formatted podcast, one that would be acceptable to all, and one that I could still have fun with too, because I mean, that's kind of critical to me is if I'm not having fun, I don't want to do it. And that's even, you know, I'm an analyst at work, and I analyze business processes and even some numbers and blah, blah, blah. And there's, you know, it's just not a good time, but somehow I managed to make that fun. And some people take offense to that, but that's okay. So I had to come up with a podcast that I could have a good time with, talk to interesting and new people, and maybe even help a few folks. So, you know, Readily Random, it definitely lives up to the name in that I have a wide variety of guests. Anything from a homeschool mom to a recovered drug addict, to Joe Navarro, who is ex-FBI agent. I don't say ex, he's retired FBI agent that literally saved the Western world in the 80s because he is the premier body language specialist on the planet. And he tracked a guy. His story's so phenomenal. I recommend you listen to the episode if you haven't heard it, because it is so mind-boggling that he did something so cool. And it took him 10 years to track this guy down in the 80s. And he got on the case just by accident. And based on the guy, and I say by accident because he wasn't originally supposed to interview this potential suspect, right? But the guy that was supposed to do it couldn't make it. So they sent Joe out and said, "Hey, Joe, will you go interview this guy?" So he interviews the guy and he asks him one particular question. And when he asked that question, you know, this was back in the 80s when hanging cigarettes out your mouth was a cool look, you know. And he said that when I asked that question, I saw that cigarette just flicker, just the slightest little flicker. And he said, "I knew I had something on him. I knew I triggered something in him." And he tracked this guy for 10 years. And eventually busted him right on the verge of selling secrets to the Soviets that would have literally destroyed our country at the time.
Wow.
Yeah. Phenomenal story. Phenomenal guy. And, you know, I wouldn't have the opportunity to interview that guy or even get to meet him in any way, shape, fashion or form if it wasn't for the Readily Random podcast. And I love it. I love what I'm doing. And I think some people have been helped by it. I've had a couple of recovered drug addicts. I have a girl, Twyla Atwell, that is a good friend of mine now. She's getting ready to be released. She has a fun story. She, you know, she was kind of strung out on the dope, as they like to call it. And they went to arrest her. They stuck her in the car and she managed to get out of her shackles or her handcuffs and she stole the car. So she stole the cop car. They're chasing her cop car to cop car. So needless to say, she did a little time, but
nothing like making a bad situation worse.
Right. Right. You know, oh, this will be great. They'll never find me. I'll take this cop car.
What was she on drugs? Well, as a matter of fact,
I hope so. I hope so. So, but she's a great lady. I mean, she's a young lady. She started an organization called FDAT, E-F-D-A-T, called Everyone Fight Drug Addiction Today. And it's rocking and rolling. I help her out with her media sometimes. I do a little some event posters for her and that sort of thing to get the message out. She sent me a phenomenal FDAT t-shirt. And so I've made a nice connection there as well. And, you know, that's one of the things that I like to do with my guests is try to maintain a connection, not just go, "All right, well, thanks for 30 minutes of your time. See you later. Bye." But to actually establish a rapport and build a relationship with everybody that's been on my show. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a few that I have not managed to do that, but the vast majority I have, you know, but you're not going to bat 1,000 anytime. So I'm fine.
Right. And it's probably no ill will. It's just,
it's just different paths, And so,
right.
I have no ill against. All my guests were great. I have no problem with any of them whatsoever. But like I say, it's just, sometimes you don't have the opportunity to stay as connected as you would.
Sure. Especially if they're really moving or they're really busy or tied into a lot of other things. It's like, yeah. If they saw you, they'd probably greet you warmly.
Sure,
but it just only so many hours.
Well, you know, it's funny because probably one of my most awkward podcasts. I love origami, and I've been an origami guy, you know, off and on for as far back as I can remember. Even one of the first gifts that my wife and I exchanged, we for Valentine's Day, right? We decided to craft our own gifts because we thought that'd be fun. And here you're going to take my man card, but I folded her a dozen tulips. In origami, put the stems on, put it in a heart-shaped vase and all this kind of cheesy stuff. And she still has it today though, right? So, but I love origami. So I reached out and I found an MIT professor he's considered one of the experts on the planet. He's even done TED Talks for his origami mastership. He came on and talked to me about the science and the math behind his origami and some of the patterns that he's created are some of the most complex patterns that any origami artist has ever folded. And even some of the Japanese origami grandmasters have passed down traditional historical foldings to this guy. And he is phenomenal at what he does, but I haven't talked to him since. I mean, what are we going to talk about? He's an MIT, you know, professor, you know, and he's developing equations for folding, you know, for thousands and thousands of folds of origami in one project. And so that goes a little bit beyond my mental capacity.
I totally can understand that.
Totally. So, but it's just great, man. And like I say, hopefully there's a message out there that I'm delivering to somebody, and hopefully I've helped at least one or two people along the way. So.
So how did you get into podcasting initially, and how did you go about it?
Okay, well, podcasting is, for me, an offshoot of voiceover. So I was doing the voiceover stuff, as I mentioned before, and as with anything, and I think you and I spoke about it on our episode when you were on my show, is it's a money sink eventually, you know, right out of the gate. You've got to just go money, like opening a restaurant or anything else. You had mentioned before that you're just about guaranteed to lose money your first 2 years. And I was just dumping money into it, and it was very difficult to get some footing. So I said, you know what? And I listened to Joe Rogan back then, hardcore. I was a big Joe Rogan fan, still am, and a couple of other podcasts that are what they call their Death Squad group. There's several podcasts that are in that clique, and pretty much anything Death Squad I listened to at the time, which involved Kill Tony as well. And sure. I thought, man, that's what I want to do. I want to do some podcasting because, and I probably shouldn't say this because I've got a clean 100. My podcast is 100% clean. Meaning there's very rarely even a H word or a D word on there. You know what I mean? Right. But I tend to talk a little differently. I don't shy away from certain words that some folks do. And, you know, I've been known to drop a bomb here or there, you know, a little F-bomb action. And it's gotten me in trouble more than once. And, you know, at work, I've been, Larry, that's too loud. Don't say it that loud. You know, that kind of thing. And I've gotten in trouble when I was a kid. I've recently wrote a book, and I throw a little story in there about me as in second grade, I got in trouble for talking, and I try to avoid getting in real trouble. The teacher sent a note home to my parents, right? But it was for talking. That's all it was for. But I did that all the time. So I was already in trouble, right? So I take the letter home, and it was in one of those yellow manila envelopes, and I ended up, instead of having mom sign it, I wrote my name on the outside of the envelope, and it's second grade penmanship, right? So it's all jagged and Larry Roberts. So I take it back and I give it to my teacher. I showed it to her, here, she signed it, la la la. She's like, Larry, why is it in your name? I'm like, because she thought it was for me, I guess. I don't know. Well, it looks pretty rough there, Larry. She was sick, you know. So needless to say, we were in the principal's office shortly thereafter, and I was probably in more trouble than I would have been just getting the letter signed. But my point in all that is that I love to talk, and there's not much of a governor on what I say or what I talk about. So I thought, man, you know what? I hear these guys saying all these outlandish things on Kill Tony, on Joey Diaz, the Church of What's Happening Now, on Joe Rogan's show. There's just no filter, right? And even as a kid coming up, some of my favorite comedians were Sam Kinison, Andrew Dice Clay, Robin Williams, and even, believe it or not, Howie Mandel. He wasn't exactly the cleanest comedian in his stand-up days. He had a crazy act that was phenomenal. And I was like, man, I'm just going to follow in these guys' footsteps, you know? And this is an opportunity to do it. A podcast, it's whatever you want it to be. You can say what you want to say as long as you're willing to take the heat for it, you know? And I made sure that even in my Accidentally the Whole Tip days, that we never did anything offensive other than say bad words. We, you know, we never attacked any kind of social groups, or we never had any bias towards a political group, or we never did anything along those lines whatsoever. We just didn't censor our verbiage is all it amounts to. And that's plenty to offend a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So
but you made the jokes on yourself.
Oh yeah. Oops. Still got me? Gonna need to do the edit. Yep. Sorry. That's exactly what I mean. Are the jokes of what we were saying ourselves. And we would joke towards each other. We would insult each other. Right. You know, we had people on that were, I mean, we had porn stars come on, often. And we would talk porn star talk with those folks. You may not want that on your show. But that's the kind of guests that we had. We just had fun, crazy, wild, outlandish guests that were also uncensored and unfiltered. So that's all it was. It was just a lot of fun, and it was all a comedian bit per se, you know, if you know what a bit is. That's all it was.
So what do you do now as an outlet, since you do censor yourself on your show? Do you go on other shows like Sarge Approved or something and kind of get it vicariously? They've got two shout outs, one from your show, one from mine.
There you go. They're gonna love it, and I love them, you know. Sarge Approved, That's a great little podcast. I say little, man. They get some really big names on their show. And I think you guys share Daniel Bellelli, I think, was on or Daniele Bellelli was on their show, I think twice at least, and on your show as well. So you both have some similar interests. But yes, when I go on Sarge Approved, I do not filter myself. sometimes I get a little outlandish, but it's nothing like the Accidentally the Whole Tip days. I say some of it, but they know they miss the tip. They were big fans of Accidentally the Whole Tip, and they keep bringing it back. Larry, when are you going to bring the tip back? When are you going to bring it back? I'm like, man, I just can't do it. You know, it's just a political nightmare.
You can't tell your boss. No, that was another Larry Roberts. Have you looked? There's hundreds of Larry Roberts in this country.
He's like, yeah, but that sounded like you. I mean, I don't know, but
Just another Texan. Yeah. I don't know.
Just another Texan. That's hilarious because I try my best not to sound Texan. Do I fail miserably?
No, not miserably, but I can hear it.
Oh, okay. Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Arizona.
Okay. All right. So that's kind of a very just straight English type state, right? I mean, there's not a lot of accent in Arizona.
Yeah, it's almost perfectly continental.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because even Midwestern has a bit of a flat tone.
Right.
Arizona is pretty American, I guess. So,
are you trying to say Texas and American there, boy?
Oh, it wasn't. Texas was its own country at one point.
Some people in Texas did take offense to that. That's all I can tell whatever. You. No, you know, there's even like, and it's never going to get any traction. At least I don't think it would. Secession. You know, it's a red state, sure. And they're like, oh, we're going to get out of here. This is ridiculous. We need our guns. And
no, they got another one going in the Northwest with Seattle and Oregon.
Oh, really?
They want, yeah. There's different points. And there's an argument to be made that maybe we are seven countries that are just jammed together.
I would not debate that. I could definitely, if I could see the lines of those proposed seven countries, I could definitely relate, I'm sure, to the vast majority of those selections. We are so vastly different here in America and different regions of America. And, you know, one of the things that has always fascinated me about social media is social media tends to paint Americans the exact same, whether they're in New York or whether they're in California. It's just Americans. Americans think this, Americans do that, and Americans, America. Mm-hmm. And it's like you try to, the internet is very good at taking a massive area and consolidating it down into what you would think is about a 10-mile radius.
Sure.
I mean, take the volcano right now in Hawaii. If you look at social media and you see the videos, you think that Hawaii is about to just go under. It's going to get drowned by lava. And it's granted the situation is dire in certain areas, but it's mm-hmm. if you take it from an actual area of where it's at in comparison to the whole island, it's a little bitty corner over here on the island, you know? And I feel mm-hmm. sorry for everybody in that region. I'm not trying to be dismissive of the facts. I'm just using it as an example as to how social media paints one little thing as if it encompasses the whole country.
Well, I think you're about my age, right?
I'm 45.
I'm 47. Okay. So yeah, same thing. So we grew up in the do not talk to strangers days.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a rash. I mean, really, when we grew up in the 70s, we're probably the high point for child kidnapping and murder.
Yeah.
But we also were running free.
Yeah. All day. I would disappear at dawn and come back, you know, when the lights come on.
So I think that this is a similar phenomenon.
It's a tough word.
Everybody knows what I said. I'm not going to keep that one up. The news got everybody so worried about the kidnappings and things. And while they are horrible, the odds of it happening to any child in this country were, you know, far less than winning the lottery.
Right.
I mean, it's very, 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 very rare.
Right.
But we've changed all of society into this overprotective where we have terms like free range kids. I'm like, what? Even kids, right?
What? They get to leave the yard? Is that what you're saying? Or what's going on?
Yeah. Stranger things. I think it's so cool to watch that because it's so nostalgic for me. I'm like, yeah, we go ride the bike.
Yeah.
Be home by dinner.
Exactly. Exactly. Weekends. You're not going to see me during the summer or the weekends, except when it's time to eat or if I get hurt for some reason, you know, I fell off my bike and I got something falling off or something, you know?
Right. And now we have kids who don't get driver's licenses because they don't care.
Dude, I know. And, you know, just in stark contrast there, my brother's 5 years younger than me, and he didn't have a driver's license till his early 20s.
I can't even imagine.
I can't either.
Driver's license is freedom. Your car was like your portable house.
Yes.
Because you could get away.
It's really, you know, it's your private space, because you could get in your car. And, you know, I grew up in an area where we had a massive lake very, very close by. You know, I'm talking like 5 miles away. So I lived on the border of Texas and Oklahoma, and there's a big lake called Lake Texoma that's up there. And it's either the second or even first largest man-made lake there is. And the Denison Dam is a tourist attraction. It's a massive dam that's there. And I live right down the street. You know, I say right down the street. I live 5-10 minutes away. And I would get in my car and we'd go out to the lake. And there's no telling where we would end up. We're in some cove somewhere. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? But we're just out there. We're by ourselves. And we're not under anybody's rule of thumb. There's nothing. It's just a chill spot. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And kids today, they don't appreciate, I won't say they don't appreciate it. They don't even know what they're missing.
Right.
So they don't have that. They can't not appreciate it.
Yeah. And I don't know where it's all going to go. What would you recommend for people to do? Let's say if they want to start a podcast, but don't tell us the whole book. We'll talk about your book. I don't want you to reveal the whole book. People need to buy the book, but.
You know, my biggest thing about starting a podcast is don't hesitate to do it. And don't be so equipment reliant. Don't think you have to go out and buy a $400 microphone. Don't think you need a mixer and a limiter gate and a decibel meter and fancy software to edit your podcast. You don't need any of that. You don't need any of it at all. And this is my personal opinion now. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. This is my take on podcasting. And honestly, my take on podcasting is quite different than most. If you go out and you Google how to start a podcast, you're going to get basically the exact opposite information. But there's a reason for that. And the reason is those guys, they have, that's their living. They make a living by selling podcasting equipment and podcast courses. And I'm not going to say I'll never have a podcast course, because actually I'm doing a luncheon tomorrow to teach folks how to podcast. So, it's going to be basically an introduction to me and my services and what I do for podcasters. So, and of course it's going to be promoting my book. But honestly, I mean, if you have a cell phone, you can do a podcast. It's really that easy. There's going to be a voice notes or a voice memos application on your phone. I think with Apple, it's voice memos. And I know there's a notes application or a voice notes application on Android. I can't remember what the name of it is off the top of my head. I jumped ship on Android a few years ago, but it's just that easy. You know, I think the voice notes application on an iPhone, it can go up to like almost 4 hours. And if you're talking for 4 hours, you are saying too much.
Have you heard of anchor.fm?
Anchor.fm. And I can see their icon. I can. Yes. But I've never played with it at all.
Well, that essentially is a new method. They offer both the hosting and the recording through the iPhone. And it's 100% free.
Holy shnikes. I will need to research that.
And they distribute to it. Yeah, because people can listen to it on Anchor itself, or they can actually hear it on iTunes 2 days later. I think it takes 2 days for them to get all the other services.
Really?
But it's free. So they take the phone, use Anchor, record it right then. And that may be something that you could suggest to people in your book.
Oh man, I'll definitely look into that. And if I need to, I might need to make a revision to my newly printed book. It's it's only been in paperback for a couple of weeks now, so I might need to go back and do a version 2.
Well, the world's moving fast.
It does, man. It really, really does. So, and I wrote the book fast. So, but no, that's great. And that's my biggest thing. Don't get hung up on the technology of it. Don't get hung up on, well, how do I get my MP3 from a WAV file? And then how do I propagate that out to the internet? You don't have to do all that, man. All you got to do is record it, get it in MP3 format, which is easy. There's a ton of converters. There's converter apps. It's cake. And convert it, upload it. And I even say, and here's where a lot of folks will disagree with me. I look at a podcast as media. whether it's audio, whether it's video, whether it's both, it doesn't matter to me. It's media. And it's an opportunity for you to get your message and your brand or your whatever it is out there for the masses to hear. And in doing that, I'm not opposed to using YouTube as an outlet for my quote unquote podcast. Now, it's not going to blow up on YouTube. And a lot of people are going to go, no, that's not what YouTube's for. It's for media. It's for video. Well, yeah, but it doesn't have to be. There are plenty of other podcasts out there that just have their logo sitting there on the screen. And the episode runs with their logo on the screen. So you could do that just as easily. And it's also for free. And it gives you an opportunity to kind of tweak your product, you know, tweak your podcast, get used to talking into a mic, get used to hearing yourself, get used to sitting here in your office and talking to yourself while staring at the wall, knowing your wife probably has her ear to the door making fun of you. You know, that's that's tough. That's a tough call. You know what I mean? And I still struggle with solo podcasts. I do a couple, or I've done a couple, but man, to do a solo cast, that's a tough gig. That's a tough, tough gig.
Yeah, it's hard. Hard as hell. Daniele Bellelli does that for like 2-hour shots.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a Monday morning podcast. Bill Burr, he's a comedian, and he has his Monday morning podcast, and he does the same thing. Comes on and just rants like nobody can rant. And sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's just drudgery. But that's what a podcast is. You know, sometimes it's he's one of my favorites, to be honest with you, but he's a solo cast. And sometimes it's hard to relate. You know, he could be talking about hockey or one of his other interests that I'm like, what? But that's what's great about it. You expand your horizons.
You know, what's funny, and I'm curious to get your opinion on this, because I really follow comedians around, you know, like Kill Tony and other things.
Sure.
I actually enjoy, for example, Bert Kreischer's podcast when he's talking to people better than Bert on stage.
I see that.
I don't know what it is, but I kind of feel like maybe I'm just wired into the podcasting, but when they're just chilling and talking with each other and it's dynamic, I think I like it better than the actual polished routine that they, you know, release.
Well, no, and that's one of the things too, that's one of the reasons I say just start a podcast with your freaking phone, because it's just relaxed. It's not overly polished. It's not overly produced. You're going to have some mistakes in there. You're going to have a car drive by, or you're going to have your phone ring. I was on a podcast yesterday, I think it was, the Square Peg Round Hole podcast. And actually, I used it for my episode this week, and my iWatch goes off, you know, right in the middle of the episode, but we left it in. We didn't edit it out, because it's just a natural flow. It's just a conversation. It's all part of it. And that's what I love about podcasts, is the natural just flow of the conversation or flow of the topic matter. And I think that's one of the reasons too, that makes Joe so successful in the podcast arena, is he just talks.
He's brilliant.
Oh, he is. He's phenomenal. He's phenomenal at what he does.
The fact he could talk to anybody, you know, from a highest level scientist all the way down, and he holds his own.
100%.
That I can't imagine for 3-hour pops.
Yeah. I'm like, man, come on, Joe, wrap this one up, bro. You know what I mean? But, you know, he's taken me down a lot of rabbit holes over the years. And I went, oh, really? Like recently he had Tim Kennedy on talking about hunting Hitler. And I'm like, wow, I have seen commercials for the show, but I never watched it. But to hear Tim Kennedy, who's the host of the show, talk about it, I'm like, I'm in. Hmm. So I went out and found it, and the wife and I are going to binge it this week while we're on vacation. So it looks really, really cool. But I wouldn't know about these things if it weren't for podcasts.
Well, that's awesome. And I guess I should let you be getting back to your vacation. And where can people find you?
Hey, man, just like you told my audience, you can find me just about anywhere on every platform as far as podcasting goes, from iTunes to Google Play to Stitcher to Spotify. I'm rubbing that in a little bit.
Rub that in.
And on Facebook, you can find me readily random, facebook.com/readilyrandom. I'm on Instagram @readilyrandom. Readily Random is the theme, and you can find me anywhere under any of those monikers or any of those usernames. So check it out. You can also find me on Larry Roberts. I think my Facebook, I was going to say Hotmail. Y'all want to send me a Hotmail? You can. my Facebook is Larry N. Roberts. So you can find me there as well. So I'm a pretty easy guy to find.
Well, awesome, dude. It was great talking to
you. Appreciate it very much. If you don't mind, let me plug my book real quick.
Well, please.
Oh, man, my book just came out in paperback, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago. And it's called 1+1=Podcast, Simplifying the Equation of Podcasting Success. And I go into a little more in-depth to some of the topics that we scratched over here on this episode, how you can start a podcast and expand your footprint in your industry, as well as establish more brand awareness.
And there's a Kindle version too.
There is a Kindle version. Yes, it's out there. It's been out there for, where are we at? We're in May. The Kindle version has been out there for about 2 months. Came out at maybe 6 weeks.
I bought that one.
Thank you. I appreciate the support. That's very awesome. I really do.
And I encourage everybody, really do buy it. And check out Readily Random. I mean, he does a fantastic job interviewing, as you hear here.
Well, I appreciate it. I always appreciate kind words, and I always appreciate the support. So thanks for having me on, and I look forward to establishing a long-term relationship between you and I as well.
Thanks again.
All right, man. Take care.
Hey, everyone. Eric here. I want to thank you again so much for listening. I know your time is valuable, so I really appreciate you taking some. If you like what you hear, please spread the word. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Unstructured P, as in podcast. Also, you can review the podcast in whichever app you use. It really helps a bunch to spread the word. Thanks again. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Far away.